seen it for the reading of God's word.
Oh God, anoint us with your word of truth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is going to be from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if a child asks for fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?
Our story from Ruth continues with chapter 3. And you may see one of the reasons why I did not have Sheridan read this story this morning. Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you, so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you've been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had instructed her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and he was in a contented mood, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came stealthily and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and there, lying at his feet, was a woman. He said, "Who are you?" She answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are my next of kin." He said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This last instance of your loyalty is better than the first. You've not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask, for all the assembly of my people know that you are a worthy woman. But now, though it is true that I am a near kinsman, there is another kinsman more closely related than I. Remain this night, and in the morning, if he will act as next of kin for you, good, let him do it. If he is not willing to act as next of kin for you, then as the Lord lives, I will act as next of kin for you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before one person could recognize another. For he said, "It must not be known that she came to the threshing floor." Then he said, "Bring the cloak you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her back. Then he went into the city. She came to her mother-in-law who said, "How did things go with you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, for he said, 'Do not go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Naomi replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
For the past couple weeks, we've been reading this biblical story of Ruth, one that is more familiar to some of us than to others. This morning's reading, chapter 3, is the climax of the book. You remember the story thus far. Well, if you're all going to sit there.
Okay.
You remember the story thus far. Naomi was a Hebrew woman who moved with her husband Elimelech to Moab. Their two sons took Moabite wives. Then father and sons died. One daughter-in-law went back to her mother, but Naomi and Ruth came back to Bethlehem. Naomi tried to talk Ruth into staying in Moab, but Ruth insisted on going with her, with a kind of stubborn love that went beyond anything that Naomi had a right to ask or expect. The Hebrew word for that kind of stubborn, unreasonable love is hesed. Remember that word, it'll come up again. Ruth has been gleaning, or taking the leftovers from the harvest, in the fields belonging to Boaz, a wealthy Hebrew man. He not only obeyed God's laws regarding letting Ruth glean, he's gone far beyond what was required. He let her eat and drink what he provided for his workers, and instructed his workers to deliberately leave grain behind for her. With this help, Ruth has gathered an amazing amount of grain that she has kept and used to feed Naomi and herself. They've lived there, and Ruth has gleaned on Boaz's land all through the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. This week, things progress from there. Little background for our story. Some things that may not be immediately self-evident. In Hebrew law, the extended family was supposed to take care of widows and orphans. The system was also supposed to keep family land, the land that was given to that family way back when the promised land was conquered in the family. The way it worked was when a man died with no sons, the nearest male relative had the right and responsibility to buy the land and keep it in the family. With the land, he got the relatives and the responsibility to feed, clothe, and take care of them. This responsibility and the right went together. They were not separable. This was referred to as redeeming the land and the people. This is what Boaz is talking about being the next of kin. If the nearest male relative couldn't or wouldn't do it, the right and responsibility went to the next nearest male relative, and so on, until you found somebody who could and would do it. Now, if you go far enough back, all the Hebrew people are related. So, in theory, it was not possible for a widow or orphan to ever be completely out of luck. In practice, it sometimes didn't happen because nobody went around to each of those relatives in turn saying, you know, will you redeem this land? Will you? You know, nobody. The reason Ruth has had to glean to get food is because nobody's been going around on her behalf, finding the right male relatives and asking them to redeem Elimelech's land and family. This is the system not working as designed. Boaz, the rich landowner on whose land Ruth has been gleaning, is a relative of Naomi's late husband Elimelech. He's not the nearest relative, but he's on the short list. He also happens to be single, although apparently older than Ruth. He keeps calling her my daughter. You notice that? Now, threshing is separating grain from the chaff, the waste parts of the plant. Winnowing is a way to do that. It's very low tech. You throw the grain up in the air where there's wind. The heavier grain falls to the ground, and the lighter chaff blows away in the wind. A threshing floor is a prepared area for doing this, set up in a windy area outside town with a paved floor to catch the grain, so that you're not then trying to dig the grain out of grass or whatever. It wouldn't make sense. Boaz has gone to the threshing floor to winnow the barley. He does this at night, not only because it's cooler, but because in this part of the world, there's more wind at night. Very practical. He is lifting a heavy tray of grain head high and tossing it up in the air so that the grain falls and the chaff blows away. Then repeating the process again and again and again. This is hard, hot, sweaty work. People who are threshing normally wear about as little clothing as they can socially get away with because it's so hot. People who are threshing a harvest are also in a good mood. The prophet Isaiah uses people rejoicing at the harvest as an example of, you know, this is time when everybody is happy. This is more than Ohio State winning the national championship, okay? They have good reason to be in a good mood. They've gotten through the winter and spring on just barely enough to eat. And now, at least at the moment, they have more than they need. The harvest is like the sunrise or a baby being born. It's God saying that life should go on. People celebrate. Let's see. It's hot and it's dark. People are wearing little clothing. People are celebrating. Likely some wine is flowing. As a result, the threshing floor has a reputation for things that happen there. The word that is translated feet to describe what Ruth uncovers may well be a euphemism to discuss in polite company other parts of the body we would normally not discuss in that context. It's the same sort of euphemism used to describe the seraphs or angels who witnessed the call of the prophet Isaiah. They had six wings. With two, they covered their faces. With two, they were flying. And with two, they were covering their feet. Same word in Hebrew. In any case, so Ruth goes and finds Boaz when he's done his work for the evening and he's lying down, full, tired, and contented. He rolls over and he asks Ruth, "Who are you?" That's an important question, isn't it? Who is this young woman? She's originally from Moab, modern-day Jordan, but she's been living in Bethlehem for a month or two. She used to be married to a Hebrew man, but he's dead. Who is she? Ruth responds with not just her name, but with a statement of relationship. "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are my redeemer." Ruth took a chance here. She has put herself completely in Boaz's power. He could do basically what he wanted with no witnesses. And who is anybody going to believe? The wealthy local landowner or the poor immigrant widow? The new part about the Me Too movement is not women being abused at the hands of men. It's women talking about the abuse they've experienced in public and men being held accountable. It shames me as a man to say this, but abuse is as old as humanity. Ruth takes a chance, but she does not do so blindly. She knows who Boaz is. And she knows what kind of a man he is. Boaz is surprised, obviously, from his question, from what he does. He does spread his cloak over her, and he tells her not to be afraid. He tells her that he will do whatever she asks, because everyone knows that she is a woman of substance. This is the same word that's used in the previous chapter last week to describe Boaz himself. She may not be wealthy like he is, but she is a person of character. In that, they are evenly matched. He tells her that it's true that he's a redeemer, but he's not the redeemer. He's on the short list of relatives for her late father-in-law, but he's not the next of kin. He tells her he will find the next of kin and make things happen in the morning. Early in the morning, before it is bright enough for one person to recognize another. She gets up. She still has to protect her reputation, which might be damaged if people knew she had spent all night on the threshing floor with some man. Boaz has her hold out his cloak, the one that had been around them the night before, and he puts into it somewhere between 60 and 100 pounds of grain. That's enough. It could be a bride price, the present given to a bride's family at a wedding. Ruth staggers home with this bundle, dumps it on the floor in her mother-in-law's house. Naomi asks Ruth, it's translated differently, but it's the same. She asks the same question that Boaz did. She says, who are you? Naomi is asking what happened, and how has Ruth been changed by what happened? How have her relationships been changed? Ruth has expressed that kind of stubborn, unreasonable, chesed love. And though she doesn't know the extent of it yet, she's received it back. The conclusion of our story is next week. But once again, this week, our role model in the story is Ruth. We too are in desperate need of being redeemed. We too are unable to do it ourselves. We don't have the resources, physical, spiritual, or any other kind, to redeem ourselves. But like Ruth, we have a Redeemer who is a man of substance. He has more goodness than any of us has badness. Like Ruth, we have a Redeemer who loves us and who will give us good things, all that we need. Like Ruth, we know that we can trust our Redeemer with everything that we have and everything that we are. Like Ruth, the proper answer to who are you is to answer in terms of relationship. You are a child of the Almighty God, redeemed by Jesus Christ, who loves us with that same kind of stubborn, unreasonable, chesed love that Ruth loved Naomi, and that, as we'll see in more detail next week, Boaz loves Ruth. So, like Ruth, we need to go for broke. Completely rely on that Redeemer of ours. Because you know what? He's good for it. Thanks be to God. Amen.